What are church elders responsible for? How can we build trust between pastors and elders? And how can we hold one another accountable? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled Pastors and Elders, Caring for the Church and One Another. You can check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Pastors and Elders by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Pastors and Elders.
Religious liberty will be protected, and a law that requires free preventive care will not discriminate against women.
Today, the Ninth Circuit of Appeals said to our family and millions of Americans that we are equal under the law.
The dissenting opinion by Judge Smith said very clearly that there is a very rational and legitimate government reason for the protection of marriage between only a man and a woman.
For he took the uncleanness and captivity of all nations upon himself on the cross. He really and truly traded places with us all, that we be set free, the unclean made clean again.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
I was just thinking, there's got to be a reason why this week seems to have flown by so quickly. Before I knew it, it was Friday. And then just right there during the open theme, I realized we didn't do a live show on Monday. So I think that's right. It all kind of runs together. We had a long weekend, and with the long weekend came a short work week.
It was thanks to Jeff, wasn't it? Isn't that why we were off on Monday?
You bet.
And thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. It was Jeff had a board meeting or something like that for Higher Things. He sits, or until very recently, sat on the board. I guess he's on his way out. And so that gave us a Monday off, which means that we only work Tuesday through Friday, which makes sense. Now Friday seems to have arrived a day early, which I'm always happy to see that happen. But that means we have less week to kind of review. We'll do a little review of the week in the last half hour of the program when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. And that doesn't work unless you call and vote, unless you vote via email, unless you go to our Facebook fan page and vote. You can hear those sound bites in advance and vote in advance at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
I don't know about you, but I kind of like it when Jeff
so quiet.
Has, well, not only that, but see, when he's doing other things, then usually you and I get a day or two off because of these board meetings. So if anybody out there is looking for somebody to be on their board,
he's really good.
Jeff, he's really, and you know what? Here's the thing
about
Jeff.
No board. That's right. Upon which he has ever sat, has ever regretted having him on the board.
You know, that's right.
Wait a minute, I need to change that one word. Every board upon which he has ever sat has regretted having him on the board.
You know what, though? He is not a slacker. If he's on your board, he's going to give you 110%. And you got to appreciate a guy like that. And I, at least from my standpoint, he needs to be on more boards.
I agree. And committees.
So yes, plenty.
Commissions. And task
more
forces.
Days off for me in Utah. That's
yeah,
right.
Hey, everybody benefits then. Everybody benefits. So it was just Tuesday through Friday, and I don't sit on any boards. Craig doesn't sit on any boards that I know of, unless they're these clandestine things that meet, you know, the Bilderberger kind of stuff that Craig would be involved in. I mean, he wouldn't. His are all going to be secret, so I wouldn't know about it. And if I did know about it, I wouldn't be able to talk about it. So. But we don't get days off for when Craig. We almost got some days off for Craig with jury duty, but jury duty, it just shows how much sway Craig has in this community that jury duty disappeared when Craig wanted it to disappear. It's amazing. So, back to the old grindstone with listener email kicking it off, Issues Etc. blog of the week. And I've not only got a blog of the week, I actually have something I want to recommend on Facebook too. But look, blogosphere. Come on, guys. You're killing us. Or maybe Facebook is killing the blogosphere, or just the Lutheran blogosphere. But please, guys, you got to write something. And we had a really good submission of a new blog that I picked for my blog of the week. Then in the second hour of the program, we continue a three-part series with Pastor Timothy Meck on pastors and elders. Talk a little bit about building trust. And then, as I mentioned before, Issues Etc., soundbite of the week.
I just asked, I was in the back while you introduced the show. Craig said you already did the lineup already once.
No, I just talked about soundbite of the week. I went straight to soundbite of the week.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then I came back around, did the old boomerang, as I like to think of it.
Thanks, Craig, for nominating me for future boards. Anyway.
No, every board upon which Jeff has ever sat has lived to rue the day that they begged him to join. They think Jeff Schwartz, he's a layperson. That's one of the things in favor of him. He's theologically astute. That's another thing. And he's obviously a professional. And then the first meeting happens. Say no more.
I don't know what to say, guys. I do know this. We have a major, major announcement. Big time announcement. We've got a new number for the Issues Etc. comment line. But do not call it till after today's show, because we have not recorded the greeting yet for the new and improved Issues Etc. comment line.
Talk about secret meetings. I don't even know what the new number is.
I didn't either. Craig gave it to me.
All right.
618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. It used to be 8384. Todd is going up right now on his sheet that's on the wall to make that correction. 618-223-8382. We bought a new machine. The quality's a little better than the old one, but it has issues. It can only record so much, maybe like 15 minutes total of time on the machine. So it's getting full, and people are getting rightfully frustrated. So
it's cut off and things like that.
So we're just going to use one of our charter lines as the new line for the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8382. Think 84 minus 2, 82.
Or you could think about 85 minus 3 or 81 plus 1. I mean, there are a lot of ways to remember this. I know I won't, so I had to change it on the little sheet that's sitting on the window that I use every time I say the number so I don't get it wrong.
618-223-8382. What is it, Todd?
8382.
I looked. You had to look at the thing. I was a test, Craig. I looked at him. Where's his eyes going to go? He went straight to the piece of paper.
Hey, that's called being a pro. I don't depend on my memory.
That's true. That's true. Exactly. That's why we plan on having you here until about 85. You're going to be. It'll be you still working and Supreme Court justices. Which one has, you know, more senility? I don't know.
It'll be Craig's son. Craig will have a son by now who will have taken over. JJ will have taken your place, but it'll still be me. Because, come on, where else am I going to find work?
Hey, Jeff, that's the first time I've heard Todd say that he doesn't rely on his memory.
I've never relied on my memory. My memory's terrible. Jeff has destroyed my memory. Did you know that, Jeff?
No.
You have single-handedly destroyed my memory by remembering everything for me. And when you have this, I've often told people, when you have someone, say a wife or a producer, whose job it is to remember everything for you, your memory atrophies. It shrivels up. It blows away in the wind. And pretty soon it just doesn't exist anymore. You become dependent, codependent upon someone else's memory.
And let's not forget church secretaries.
They can do that too.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Hey, in order to get to our first piece of email here, I think we need to put it in context. Let's listen to how we ended last Friday's program.
Monday on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about the office of the ministry in the New Testament Gospels. Now, before we go, we have a very special listener out there today named Elizabeth Kratzky. Hi, Elizabeth. She's listening with her boyfriend, Andy. Now, Elizabeth, from what I've heard, not since God made Eve for Adam has there been a more suitable helper and companion for a guy like Andy. He has a question for you, and we here at Issues Etc. think you should say yes. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
So that's how it ended last Friday.
That was last Friday.
Okay, so it was. And here's the email from an email from Elizabeth. She says, from Wausau, Wisconsin, thank you for being an instrumental piece in my recent engagement to my new fiancé, Andy Tweetmeyer. Your overwhelming support for two young people you've never met is surely evidence of the fellowship we share as brothers and sisters in Christ in our synod. Thank you for all you've done. I was absolutely floored when I heard Pastor Wilkins' message at the end of Friday's show. I stumbled upon Issues Etc. only a few months ago and almost immediately wished that I had been introduced much earlier. Now I am a proud on-demand listener at my desk at work and at home, and Elizabeth concludes, I can tell you that Issues Etc. has been a blessing to me, and that beginning the path to marriage with it was too. It's been a great story to tell. Thanks again for making it happen. And thank you, Elizabeth, in Wausau, Wisconsin.
And thanks to Andy. Andy was the one who instigated that. He contacted us. And I just talk about a guy who made plans. I mean, Valentine's Day is coming up, and I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And here's this young man there. He contacted us. He asked if we could do this. And he even provided me with the words. I just read from his email. I mean, he said, you could say something like this. And I thought, well, that's about as good as you could say it. So, and do we want to tell people what how it actually went down, Jeff?
It was bad. Our live internet stream is provided by Pirate Christian Radio, okay, out of Indianapolis. And apparently, I mean, what, 10 minutes before this announcement was supposed to have been made.
Yeah, just about 4:50 our time.
The Comcast in a portion of Indianapolis and the suburbs went down, so the internet was down. So our signal was down, was not being heard. So, we were frantic, we were very nervous about what would happen.
I mean, ordinarily what happens is we simply contact Chris Roseborough at Pirate Christian Radio, and he tells us what the problem is and whether it can be fixed, and usually it can be fixed. And then ordinarily we just keep doing the show because our vast majority of our listeners are on demand. They don't know the difference. We just keep doing the show. But it occurred to me about 4:54 that poor Andy was waiting, listening to that live stream for this thing that he was counting on us doing. He was sitting there with Elizabeth waiting. And so Jeff very dutifully went and made a few phone calls and through the magic of podcasting and, I guess, a few strategic, shall we call them, untruths told by Andy before he popped the question, he did manage to get her to listen to the end of the show. So it worked out very nicely in the end. They even posted some pictures at our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc, so you can see what Andy and Elizabeth look like on their happy day when she said yes. I'm glad she said yes. I love matchmaking. Absolutely love matchmaking. I'm terrible at it, but I love doing it.
And I'm glad that we have Confessional Lutheranism's own Casey Kasem.
At SteadfastLutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the Curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Do not fear that you face death. Do not fear that your sins are great. Do not fear the troubles in your life. Do not fear. Only believe.
We preach Christ crucified. I mean, that's the message that should resonate from every pulpit in inner city New York or in rural Nebraska.
It'll be interesting to see whether people will want to affiliate with Planned Parenthood, knowing that it is the Hotel California of charities, where you can check in but you can never check out.
Look at my head, and it's nice and shiny. That is not my real problem, that I'm going bald. My real problem is that I'm a sinner.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, it is February the 10th, we are coming to you live. We'll have Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You can go and listen to all those soundbites in their entirety at our website, issuesetc.org. And you could vote in advance or wait for the last half hour and give us a call, 1-877-623-6943.
So did you seem shocked by the Confessional Lutheranism's own Casey Kasem. You understand it now, right?
Well, I understand it now. See, when I think of Casey Kasem, I think of the kind of cheesy, you know, the
yes, continue.
The voice. Casey Kasem was the last of the, what would you call that kind of voice that he had? Or he
cheesy?
Still has, he's still alive, as far as I know, cheesy, yeah. And mine is definitely not that. So it may be something, but it's definitely not cheesy. And that's what was in my mind. And then I realized it was reference to the fact that he routinely read marriage proposals on the air.
Or just, you know, this song goes out to, you know,
a special girl.
A special girl listening in Santa Barbara, CA.
You know, I'm convinced half those people didn't exist. But some girl who just happened to be listening in Santa Barbara, California, thought it was her. So, you know, maybe it worked out for some guy. Who knows?
That's right. Yeah, I think
Casey Kasem was just messing with people's heads most of the time.
You think he just made it up?
Yeah, he's making it up. Yeah.
It's kind of like what the Bilderbergers, you know, tell us in the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yeah.
Right, Craig?
All right. What's next?
What's next? Oh, but I was contemplating Confessional Lutheranism's own Casey Kasem or Delilah. So be glad that I chose the former, not the latter. Delilah does that. Oh, you'd like to marry somebody? Well, it's Barry in Longmont, Pennsylvania.
Sounds like he listens to Delilah.
I think that's a cross between Casey Kasem and Delilah. That's even worse. All right, let's do some email. Okay, this is Mike. He says, in regards to Dr. Adams, David Adams' lecture on Jacob, is it possible that the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are a type of the Trinity, or am I reading into it? Thanks for the email, and thanks for the question, Mike, and thanks for listening.
I think not, and there's two reasons for that. One is we always want to go with the biblical types that are clear, that you don't have to do any reading into. And we start with the ones that the Bible most clearly indicates, where it will talk about something be a type of another thing, where the Bible will say that this was a type of that. For instance, the flood was a type of baptism. There's no doubt about that. That is clear from the Apostle Peter. And there are other instances where we can make an explicit connection between Old Testament sacrifices, Christ's sacrifice on the cross, type and anti-type. And these are technical terms of how we interpret prophecy, Old Testament prophecy. We start with those, the ones that the Bible provides for us on a silver platter. Then there are ones that are more speculative, where it is Joshua a type of Christ because he is a deliverer, he is a conqueror, and he happens to actually share the name with Jesus. That one is a little more speculative, but it's so rich that it's hard to deny that. And then we would go to the ones that are even more speculative. But I think making Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the three primary patriarchs a type of Trinity is stretching it a little bit. Now, can you see there a threeness that may indicate something about how God likes to do things? Yes. Can you see there a threefold repetition over three generations of the same promise before he actually brings the promise to fruition, the initial promise to make of Abraham a great nation, which he does only through Jacob's offspring? Then yes, that God likes to repeat himself. He likes to make things thrice certain. But to draw a line between that and the Trinity, I think, is a stretch. It's, and again, it's not a bad question to ask, and it's not a bad thing to be looking for. But the Trinity is one of those things, I think, Old and New Testament, for which there aren't types. There, in other words, there aren't symbols before the fact. And I think the reason for that is that the Trinity awaits its full revelation. It's not unknown in the Old Testament. It's not unable to detect in the Old Testament, be detected in the Old Testament. But we do not get the full-blown Father, Son, and Holy Spirit until God reveals himself in the flesh. And that is to say that God is known most fully, most certainly, and finally and only in the incarnate Son of Jesus Christ, who will come and teach us explicitly that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's not like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I wrote about this sometime back in a journal article called The Theology of Jesus, I think was the name of the article. And if anybody wants more on it, about how Jesus is Trinitarian and how we're not importing something into Jesus' theology. We're not importing something into the Old and New Testaments by talking about the Trinity. Jesus is the original Trinitarian. And this is rather relevant given all the flap over T.D. Jakes in the elephant room and is he a Trinitarian? Is he a modalist? Well, look, the real question is, was Jesus a Trinitarian? And the answer to that question is emphatically and undeniably yes. I'll send you the article. Just send me an email, todd@issuesetc.org, and I'll send the article out to anybody who'd like to see it. Up first from the Issues Etc. comment line, our very own Paul Harvey.
This is Harry of Arlington Heights with a preliminary to other comments to come under the heading of A View from the Pew. Smartest listeners in radio is what host Todd Wilkin has called you. But for the layman among you, being instilled with the Lord's word and sacrament on a regular basis, I will go the host one better by declaring that you are also well-versed theologians. I hear an objection, but before you protest further, consider the definition from Webster, who says, a theologian is one versed in theology. How well you are versed is debatable, but term denial is to besmirch your shepherd, vilify the liturgy, and sully the songs you sing in every divine service you attend while awake. If you are not a bit better off as a theologian after receiving all the Lord generously serves up each Lord's Day, you may then be a victim of the Dead Sea Syndrome. While the living waters of the Jordan River and other tributaries constantly flow into it, the Dead Sea is dead because it has no effluent, and all life received is dissipated by ever more concentrated inert minerals. Likewise, if you are regularly graced with the word and sacrament and yet defy the Great Commission by intent, indolence, or insecurity in your capacity to proclaim God's word, not only will that Dead Sea Syndrome plug up your evangelical effluence, but what you receive will stagnate, overwhelmed by the world. As a Christian, you live by dying and gain by giving. For now, I defer to the Holy Spirit any slumbering intent or indolence you may suffer. But as to your possible insecurity concerning your capacity to proclaim God's word, I have some responses. I hear more objections. Some objectors say that any attempt to proclaim God's word is encroaching on the pastor's turf. Some objections say that you need a seminary education in order to speak authoritatively on God's word. Some objections say that a layman might stumble and err in handling God's word, doing more damage than good. Some objections deny fluency in the biblical languages they encounter so often in pastoral quotes of Hebrew and Greek as essential keys to understanding a biblical text. To these objections and others, I have responses to share. Stay tuned first for the responses and then from views from the pew of this layman on scriptural questions. Thank you.
We have always said here on Issues Etc. that the very best What the church needs is the very best educated, trained, informed pastors that we can possibly produce, and the very best educated, trained, informed lay people that we can possibly produce. And it's no coincidence that while we have undergone for about 40 years, I think a concerted and perhaps even intentional effort to dumb down the laity, that is, taking out of their hands the Word of God and putting into their hands all sorts of other books that fly under the label of Bible study, some of them so contrary to the Bible that it's remarkable no one notices, taking out of their hands resources like the Small Catechism, the Catechism, the Confessions of the Church, taking them out of their mouths on Sunday mornings, they're not even confessing the creed. And if you don't confess it, you can't know it. You can't believe something you don't know. And at the same time, what is followed immediately is a concerted effort, perhaps even intentional, to dumb down the pastors. And the church depends upon the Word of God, and the Word of God upon those who know it, who can proclaim it, who can hear it, who can judge that preaching. So when we say smartest listeners in radio, everything that Harry had to say there is all rolled up in it. We'll be right back. The sooner the better, you gotta wait a minute, wait a minute. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Rick Santorum's a candidate for president, but I don't want to talk about politics. I want to talk about his family. While campaigning in Florida, Rick got frightening news. His daughter Bella was critically ill. She was born with trisomy 18, and only 1% lived to see their first birthday. Rick dropped what he was doing to be a dad. Thankfully, Bella rallied and is doing better. This family's no stranger to tragedy. Santorum's also had a baby boy, Gabriel, who lived only 2 hours. Maybe this is why, as Pennsylvania Senator, Rick was a leading voice for unborn babies. Please keep this family in your prayers. Also pray God uses them to stand up for innocent human life, regardless of where they are, Pennsylvania or the White House.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, here's an email that we got just a few minutes ago from Mike in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. He actually sent it via the iPhone, the new Issues Etc. iPhone app. He says, I have been exclusively an on-demand listener. That means probably podcast listener or going to our website. But now, because of the new Issues Etc. iOS app, that's the iPhone app, I am for the first time listening live. It is exciting. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you very much, Mike. Thanks for listening in Fergus Falls with Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand, either through our Issues Etc. iPhone app or the Issues Etc. Android app, both of which are free and available at our website. You can also find them at the App Store through iTunes and through the Market. I think they call it the Market, the Android Market as well, if you want to go straight through your phone. But you can get them at our website, issuesetc.org. They're right there on the homepage. And under the Listen menu, you'll also find a direct link to download both the iPhone app and the Android app for Issues Etc. As I said, they're free, and they allow you to take Issues Etc. live or on demand in the palm of your hand wherever you go.
Here's an email from Keith in North Platte, Nebraska. He said, the discussion concerning Joel Osteen was interesting. No seminary training and plenty of false doctrine. Is he a pastor? Perhaps according to popular usage, but he is not a minister of Christ. But what of those trained at a seminary? The majority of seminaries in this country teach false doctrine, whether Reformed, Roman Catholic, Pentecostal, or it pains me to say, some Lutheran. The ministers coming from these seminaries are false teachers and not ministers of Christ. My thoughts, now, if I may, two questions. Is a pastor always a pastor, even without a call? Is a pastor by virtue of his ordination or because of his call? What is scriptural? Two, is a woman that receives a call a pastor according to scripture? Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening in North Platte, Nebraska. Keith.
Okay, first of all, let's do Joel Osteen. Is Joel Osteen a pastor? Yes, because he has been called, I put that word in parentheses because I do not know the manner in which he was called, by that congregation, Lakewood, in Houston, Texas, to be its pastor. Some might say he inherited it from his dad or however it worked out, but the congregation has agreed and has called him to be the pastor, so he is their pastor. Is he a faithful pastor? That's a different question. Let me go to the last question. If a woman is called to be a pastor by a congregation, does that make her a pastor? The answer to that question is no, because it's an even more fundamental issue. Who does God call to be pastors? One thing is quite clear from Scripture. God does not call women to teach or exercise authority in the church. And in that context, especially in 1 Corinthians, it is in the context of public worship that they're teaching and exercising authority. In other words, the pastoral office. So God does not call women to be pastors. He calls them to be all sorts of other wonderful things, but not pastors. He calls men to be pastors, but not all men to be pastors, just some to be pastors. What makes a pastor? The call of the church. In fact, we shall say the right call of the church. I have no reason to doubt Joel Osteen's call, but is he a faithful pastor in that calling? The answer to that question is no, because he doesn't preach the gospel. Now, so what's the difference between Joel Osteen and a woman? Joel Osteen can be called as a pastor. A woman cannot be called as a pastor. You can call her all day long. You can lay hands on her. You can dance around her. You could say prayers over her. You can put a stole on her. You can put a collar on her. You can put her in a pulpit. You can put her in an altar. You can do that for 25 years running straight. Still doesn't make her a pastor, because only God, through his call, makes a pastor, and he doesn't call women to be pastors. What makes a pastor? God's call. The next question that must be asked, and the Joel Osteen is a really good example of it, is a man faithful in his calling? So, someone graduates from Union Theological Seminary, and he's been taught nothing but that the Bible is a bunch of lies, and he's called to, say, a Presbyterian church to be their pastor. Is he a pastor? Yes. He's been called by the church. Is he a faithful pastor? Well, if he teaches and preaches what he was taught at Union, no, he is not. Which makes him, in the words of the apostle, doubly accountable. It's one thing to simply believe falsely. It's another thing to, in your capacity as a teacher of the church, teach falsely. So he's doubly accountable for this. So what makes a pastor is God's call. He does not call women, but calls men. And when he calls them to be faithful to God's word. God never calls someone to teach falsely, but to teach the truth. And so when those men who have been taught in the various seminaries are taught wrongly, what the seminary is doing, and here they bear this responsibility too, they are training men not to be faithful pastors, but unfaithful pastors. They're not training to be non-pastors, but tragically to be the worst kind of pastor, which is someone who's called to teach the truth, but doesn't.
This is Mike in Illinois calling for my Issues Etc. iPhone app. I'm fascinated by all of the rhetoric surrounding the decision by the Susan G. Komen for the Cure, choosing to use their private funding for more direct support of mammograms and cancer screenings. This morning on the news, Senator Boxer said that this decision was detrimental to women's breast cancer health. Really? I'm still waiting for someone to explain that to me. It's not like the grants are not going to be given. They're just going to go somewhere else. Are the Komen grants really that essential to the existence of Planned Parenthood? If they are, then it's no wonder that they're being investigated. Any organization whose existence is threatened by a 0.06% reduction in revenue has to be so financially mismanaged as to be criminal. That's right. All of the hullabaloo that you're hearing is over 0.06% of Planned Parenthood's funding. Thank you, gentlemen, for all that you do. Bye.
As I've said before, smartest listeners in radio, the whole Komen thing has proven to be a real eye-opener for many, including myself, not only on Komen, but on Planned Parenthood. One of our soundbites of the week will deal with this. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway gave us a great soundbite on what we now know, what can no longer be denied by anyone about Planned Parenthood after the Susan G. Komen for the Cure debacle. And yes, this what this shows is, as Molly will say, is that Planned Parenthood, as she says, is the Hotel California of charities. You can check in, but you dare not check out. You can give the money, but you dare not take that money elsewhere. They will make you pay. And they did. And not only figuratively in the political sense, but through what I would call political extortion, got that money back. Now, didn't they? So it's a sad story all around. By the way, that comes from our Issues Etc. comment line, and we do have a new number for that comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382.
Oh, you just had to come to me when I'm listening to a piece of audio here.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Let's see. What do we got here? We've got Barbara in Pennsylvania. She said, hi, Pastor Todd and Jeff. This on training for the pastoral office in the Gospels. Dr. Peter Scare is the best of the best. I hope and pray many ministers will listen to this show and turn from the vacuous nonsense they're giving us. I'm so tired of it's all about me and happiness theology. A truly great lesson in this age when churches are in bed with the government and wonder what happened to the party, or else they've turned into community and motivational centers. This was terrific, just terrific. Your friend in Christ, Barbara in Pennsylvania.
Well, Barbara, thank you very much. And that was an excellent conversation with Dr. Peter Scare. And I should say the credit goes to Dr. Scare because he was the one who actually approached us and suggested that we talk about this, about the pastoral office in the New Testament. He almost made the cut for Soundbite of the Week this week with a great concluding statement where he says, look, a guy who says, I don't need the seminary and doesn't go to the seminary and yet somehow becomes a pastor through, well, malfeasance on the part of the church. What's wrong there? He doesn't know what he's missing. He says, don't talk to me, a seminary professor, about it. Talk to a fourth-year seminary student about whether or not he thinks that education is necessary. I came into the seminary the same way, thinking that I knew almost enough and all they could do is kind of fill in the gaps. And then I came out of the seminary realizing I needed a lot more. And there is a certain, let's just call it what it is, there's a certain arrogance on the part of everybody entering into that they think they know enough or that they've been trained enough and all they need is a few facts and figures or a couple classes and then they're ready to go. And the seminary has a way of kind of drumming that arrogance out of you and revealing your ignorance, which and a little repentance as well. And then, of course, the ministry will do that to you even more. In spades, it will do that to you. Up next, a comment about feng shui.
Hi, guys. This is John down in San Angelo, and I'm calling via the iPhone app. And I just wanted to make a comment off of the recent show on feng shui. And I thought it was interesting how it seems like the practitioners of feng shui seem to use it as a means to manipulate the environment and reality around them in order to bring peace and maybe suffering to their lives, and how that's different from another Eastern philosophy of Buddhism, where they actually go as far to say that reality is not real or does not exist, to kind of bring the same result of peace or ending of suffering. So I'll say thanks for your great show, and I'll continue listening. Bye.
And thank you very much. Yeah, we recently did a show with Marcia Montenegro on feng shui, showing its religious roots. Now, at the end, she said, you know, it's not that this this method doesn't produce beautiful design. It certainly does, but you can have beautiful design of the very same sort without the religious baggage that comes with feng shui. What is it? I mean, as it is classically practiced, it's nothing but sheer superstition. When we come back, a little more email, and then Issues Etc. Blog of the Week.
Assistance if this all confuses you, so tell me why.
Why
haven't I
heard
from you?
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org. Go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
It's here. It's here. It's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in this hour. Before we get through this hour, we'll have Issues Etc. Blog of the Week in the second hour of the program. We'll be talking with Pastor Timothy Meck, part two of a three-part series with him on building trust between pastors and elders. The series is about pastors and elders. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We got four soundbites at our website, issuesetc.org. You can go there and listen and vote in advance. You can also vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. From the Issues Etc. comment line, some thoughts about a man we talked about recently on the program who wanted to be debaptized.
Hi, this is Jonathan calling from France in regards to the fellow here in France who you mentioned earlier in the week is trying to be debaptized. And on that subject, I left a comment on your Facebook wall, and my comment was that essentially in denying his faith that he is nullifying his baptism, upon which I appreciate you, Pastor Wilkin, in correcting my theology, and that it's really good to hear correction and hear biblical teaching on such things as baptism and other means of grace. So thank you for helping me understand that further, that no matter what, my baptism will always be, in other words, I will always be a son of God. No matter what I do, the baptism will always be there. As a follow-up to that, as a former evangelical, I now confess to myself a confessional Lutheran, but I was baptized in the evangelical church as a child, as an older child, after I had made a decision, after I'd walked the aisle, and I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's hard for me, for some reason, to find comfort in that, the comfort that I should have. I know I should have, but since it's connected to that, the whole ordinance and the way it's incorrectly taught as a work of man, not a work of God, and everything that, unfortunately, takes away all of the true meaning, the true biblical meaning from it that is currently taught in American evangelicalism. How do I now, as a former evangelical, look back to a baptism that took place then and have comfort in it? That's my question. Thank you for your show again, and so long for now from France.
It's a very good question. Thanks for listening in France, and it's one of, well, probably one of the weightiest questions I've gotten in a long time. So here's the story. You were baptized in a church that essentially kept the rite of baptism, the biblical rite of baptism, but not everything that the Bible teaches about baptism. They didn't deny everything that there is there in baptism, but they displaced it. They put your certainty in yourself, your decision, rather than in God's work in baptism. They shifted the onus for the forgiveness of sins from God's gracious work, washing away sins through water and his word, to you and your decision. It was still there in the, what shall we say? It was still there in the mix, but it was mixed up. So they taught wrongly about baptism, not denying baptism, but transferring the power that ought to be attributed to God through baptism to you and your decision. And I can understand your consternation saying, and I do not hear you asking, was it a valid baptism? I do not hear you asking, was it a Christian baptism? I do not hear you asking the question, do I have to be rebaptized? Because none of those questions are really necessary here. The question you were asking, and I think it's a good one, is how can I take comfort from a baptism that was performed under this cloud of false teaching about baptism? I would point you back to the true teaching of baptism. So what did everyone there in the room think was happening when you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Well, maybe everyone there in the room thought that it was the pastor doing the action and you participating in the action, and somehow you were making a public commitment of your inner commitment, you know, confession of your inner confession, and that it was all about you. Well, really what we need to ask with regard to baptism in that case is, Christian baptism we're talking about, is what did God think was happening? And I can assure you beyond a shadow of a doubt that what God not only thought but was doing that day was washing away sins through the water and his powerful word. And the false teaching there that displaces the power, the efficacy, the forgiveness of sins from God to you does not nullify that. Is it wrong to teach these things or believe these things about baptism? Absolutely it is. Do they threaten the true teaching of baptism? Yes, significantly. But God was still washing away sins. It was still, as St. Paul says, a washing of renewal in the Holy Spirit that was poured out on you richly. And you need not doubt it. You simply, what I would say is, when in doubt of such a thing, the teachings of men that have overclouded God's word, then flee back to God's word and to the certainty that is there. It is there for you even in that baptism.
Quick email from Pat. She says, I am an LCMS Lutheran convert from Reformed Presbyterianism. I was theologically convinced of Lutheranism after having read through the Book of Concord. I credit Issues, etc., with being used by our gracious Lord to save me from a spiritually desperate situation. It's a long story, but your no-nonsense, clear, and biblically grounded broadcast saved my life. Thank you, Pastor Wilkin, and the rest of you at Issues, etc., and thank you for listening, Pat.
Well, thank you, and none of the credit goes to us, of course, but to God's Word as it speaks through this program. So that's what did it for you. We're happy to be an instrument in what God was doing there, and happy to be an instrument in helping that. What a great way to become a Lutheran, by reading through the Book of Concord. Would that all Lutherans became Lutherans thus.